Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Tuesday, wherever you are. Green Bay Packers still conspicuous by their absence, somewhat on a practice field available to prying eyes. So not a ton to talk about when it comes to the ins and outs of the football side of things on the field, but a few moves, a few pieces of information that we can discuss. Hope you're all having a great day. Thank you for joining me here on Packers Daily. A real quick shout out before we get going to our Patreon members and Carry the G Club members. In case you missed it, happy hour is tonight. I was a little late with the email this week, but it is tonight, 5 p.m. Lambeau time. The information is on your respective pages. I will see you there after Packers Daily today. So the Packers did, yes, make a few announcements today. First up, they announced the signing of cornerback Marlon Jones, who went undrafted out of Vanderbilt. He's a corner. He will join the roster post-haste, and obviously interesting because he beat cancer in 2024. I mean, you talk about a pretty damn feel-good story. Interested to see what the young man brings when we get out there on the grass at Ray-Nitschke Field this summer. But the Packers adding yet another body to that cornerback room. As we have discussed all offseason long, one of the big things they needed to do was foment competition at the cornerback spot up and down the depth chart. Jones should help facilitate that. So a signing that puts the Packers at 91 on their roster. They do have an IPPP exemption. The international pathway player does not count to your 90-man roster limit. So they're at 91 now with the addition of Jones. The other announcement that the Green Bay Packers made today were a bevy of promotions on the personnel side of things. Plenty of long-standing Gutekunst lieutenants essentially somewhat bumped up the chain of command after the departure of John Eric Sullivan, of course, now down in Miami as their general manager. Headlined by Milt Hendrickson being promoted to vice president of player personnel. Milt and Brian go way back into their college days. I know when Brian was first hired as general manager of the Packers, he tried to bring Milt, he at least tried to interview Milt there when he was still with the Ravens, but the Ravens blocked that move. And then Milt's contract ran out with Baltimore, and then he did obviously join the Packers a number of years ago. And he has essentially become Brian's right-hand man. Guys like John Wojciechowski also got a promotion, as well as Richmond Williams, who you guys have heard me talk about many, many times as the director of pro personnel. He is now director of player personnel in general. A really talented scout, really talented personnel guy who I think eventually will be a general manager in this league, along with Milt. I believe Milt clearly next in line, so to speak, I would suspect, as far as we saw a number of interviews for John Eric Sullivan over the last couple, 2 or 3 years. Have to think Milt Hendrickson will start to get some of those opportunities, including being the Packers representative at this year's Coach and Front Office Accelerator here in 2026. The kind of operations around the Accelerator have changed this year. Milt representing the Green Bay Packers, getting in front of NFL decision makers to just get exposure, get in front of them, get to know them. Hopefully, like I say, yeah, you know, Brian always talks about it. You're rooting for these guys. Clearly, you want to keep as much talent in-house as possible. I do think Milt is an incredible personnel guy, an incredible scout, both his work in Baltimore and in Green Bay. But eventually, he probably undoubtedly would like to run his own shop. And you have to think this is the next step on that journey. But yes, congratulations to everyone. I do find some of these funny because there's one in particular, Sam Seal, who has been, you know, scouting for the Packers for 32 years. I mean, this guy, Sam, was back in the day, like helping Ted Thompson, like discover talent. Like he has been there forever. And they have now named him, what is his senior national scout. This is after 8 years as national scout. That was his promotion from being the West Regional Scout forever and ever. So, you know, some of this is, you know, you've been with us for a very long time. We want to recognize your work. Yes, there probably is more responsibility given to a guy given that kind of title, but some of it is, you know, we just want to also kind of armor you against potential poaching by other teams. So congratulations to all those guys, including, and I have to mention Luke Benuska, who we here at Cheesehead TV have had the privilege of having at Live X here in New York City many, many years ago, coming to hang out and talk shop, talk ball. Luke is a very, very talented scout. He was promoted to National Scout here in 2026. Moving up the chain, Benuska. Love to see it. Good to see all of you. Everybody chatting it up here at Cheesehead TV. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends, a big group of friends, including our friends over there at Ticket King. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King partners with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the description of this video, in our app, on our website. We got individualized links for each and every game. Make sure you use Ticket King, people. Also, I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout-out to our friends over at ThetaCare. Don't let pain sideline your golf game this season. Stop in to ThetaCare Orthopedic Walk-In Care. Open 7 days a week. They'll help you get back in the game quickly. Learn more at ThetaCare.org. All right, folks, what's going on? What's on your mind? How we doing? How we living? Danny G, starting us off. How you doing, man? Yes, I have thoughts on Matt LaFleur's ginger ale sip. Lieutenant Dan. Oh, Lieutenant Dan, you are going to pick it apart. I knew it. Oh, you of the, continuous criticism that Matt LaFleur drinks wine. Then he finally drinks a beer and you still have complaints. I am shocked. Color me shocked, Lieutenant Dan. I can't believe it. Hope you sense the sarcasm there. E4, how you doing, buddy? Will the NFL L ever get to the point of corporate advertising on uniforms? I'd hate it, but have grown used to it with German soccer. I think it's inevitable. I think, yes, there will come a point where that will occur. I don't know if we're there in the next 2 or 3 years, but I do think in the next 10, I'll be shocked if it hasn't happened. No doubt about it. I mean, look no further than the NFL's announcement today that the international games continue to expand. They're going to have 10 next season. Actually 11 if you count the Jaguars London game, and they also have removed the ability for teams to block requested matchups, meaning this year the Packers most likely would have been in Munich facing the Lions. You know, the NFL wanted that to happen, but the Lions put the kibosh on it. That will no longer be allowed. So yes, there's a potential for divisional matchups, big time matchups, to be going overseas starting next year. That is on its way. I bring that up. You talk about German soccer. I think this is the push, right? You don't go from being a $25 billion revenue business to a $50 billion revenue business without making some of these types of moves, i.e. putting, you know, sponsor patches on your uniforms. That is all coming, baby. There is zero doubt about it. Mike Witt, how are you, buddy? All due respect to Milt, but the right hire for Goot, right-hand man, would have been Aaron Nagler, random Packer, Rich Campbell, Packers legend. Man, nobody wants to see that. I always tell you guys, I'd be the worst general manager, the worst personnel person in the history of the game. I'd sign everybody. I'd sign everybody to monster extensions. I'd sign every free agent. No, nobody wants that. Jeff Jones, how are you, man? What's your most objective take on the 2026 squad? The most objective take is I'm still somewhat, I would say nervous. I wouldn't say nervous, but trepidatious, let's say, about the offensive line doing what it needs to do for this team to win a championship. If this team can play better up front on offense, they can beat anybody, and they should beat everybody. They should be able to win every single game. Now, obviously, that doesn't occur. That's not life. That's not reality. But they have every piece they need to be dominant on the offensive side of the ball if they can block it up. And then on the defensive side, I don't think it's any mystery, right? It's are they going to be able to survive that first month? without Micah Parsons. Didn't see much of a pass rush on a consistent basis after he went down last season. And then can they hold up on the back end? I do think they have done just enough when it comes to the cornerback spot to put them in a better position. But it's not going to matter a whole hell of a lot if they're being asked to cover 5, 6, 7 seconds at a time, which, you know, given the pass rush or lack thereof that we saw down the stretch last year, I think is a legitimate concern. So I think those are the two areas where, if you are trying to be objective, those are the two spots where, look, I love the individual pieces along the offensive line. I understand why they are most likely going to end up going with the five that we've talked about a lot: Jordan Morgan, Aaron Banks, most likely Sean Ryan, Anthony Belton, and Zach Tom. I do think conceptually, I get it, and I think it can work, but they've got to play way better as a group, way more consistently. And until I see that, I'm probably going to have a few misgivings about it, because we saw so little improvement last year. We saw so many issues and problems. And if you want to be a team that wants to run the ball as much as Matt LaFleur wants to run the ball, you have got to be exponentially better up front trying to run the football. Josh Jacobs can only do so much, but when he's continuously hit at or behind the line of scrimmage and you are continuously in 2nd and 9, 2nd and 8, well, Jordan Love can only do so much after that. Help your quarterback. Get in manageable down and distances. Stay ahead of the sticks with the running game. Great idea, but you've got to be able to execute up front. And given that 4 of the 5 guys are returning and presumably going to be given those spots, I need to see that gel quickly. Those are the only two concerns. Everything else, I'm gold. I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to win a lot of games. But those are the things that I think could potentially keep them from contending. That and, of course, the health of the team, which is always the case in the NFL, kind of goes without saying. Brian, how you doing, man? Someone on Rich Eisen's show just asked if it's a make or break season for Love. Can we just start the season? Boy, I talked about this, I believe yesterday or a couple days ago on Daily. Yeah, there's some priors and there's some perception out there, especially nationally, that just is not based in anything close to reality when it comes to Jordan Love. And it's wild to me, man. Absolutely wild. But yeah, I would like to get to the season to remind all these folks how good Jordan Love is and continues to grow and improve. Joe, how you doing, man? Chicago Tribune is reporting Bears' proposed stadium site in Hammond will be built on giant slag heap near what hazardous waste sites. Sounds about right. Well, okay, I saw the quote that was attributed to, I believe, someone in the Chicago camp. So I don't know. Maybe, are they reporting it? Are they reporting the quote that may or may not be based on actual fact? I don't know. I just know that the Bears still don't have a home, which is kind of hilarious to me. Mike Witt, thanks again, buddy. I know this is a Packers chat, but it was so awesome watching a team from Wisconsin last night beat the hell out of a team from Illinois in baseball. Yeah, this is a Packers chat, but you know, Bears fans made it a topic by chanting Green Bay sucks while losing to the Milwaukee Brewers by a touchdown. You really are special down there in Chicago, man. It is hilarious. Danny G, how you doing, buddy? National sports media is like national news media. Fake. No time for it. Love MVP season incoming, Lieutenant Dan. As usual, it's about trust, right? Who do you trust? Who gains your trust? Who retains your trust? You know, there's outlets nationally. There are reporters nationally, both NFL and news, who I do trust. But, yeah, it is a fractured state when it comes to the media nationally, other sports or news. You are absolutely right. Bo, I think we're going to hear this refrain a lot. May need to outscore teams early. Random Packer, Tony Palmer. I don't know about the random Packer part, but we will absolutely be hearing that, I think, going into the season when people are talking about the Packers. We're going to have to score 30 a week. keep pace, you know, waiting for Micah. Now, who knows? Maybe Gannon comes out of this gate smoking and they really limit scoring and surprise everybody. But I think there's a kernel of truth there. They're going to have to control the game on the offensive side of the ball. Let's put it that way, right? Like, yes, it would be great if they're running up and down the field and scoring a ton of points, putting up 30-plus every single week. Somewhat unrealistic, probably, but can they control the game on offense? Again, possess the ball, keep that defense on the field well-rested so that when they are asked to get out there and make a stop, you know, you haven't had a two-play drive for, yeah, points, great, but now your defense is right back out there. You know, I think LaFleur is going to have to, like, try to not be his own worst enemy and, again, possess the football, matriculate the ball down the field, control the game on offense. And I think I'm not telling him he doesn't, anything he doesn't know, but I think that's going to be, at least initially, especially on the side of the ball on defense where you're still learning a new scheme, trying to get on the same page, etc. That first month in particular, you want to control the game on the offensive side of the ball. No doubt about it. Jeff, I feel the same as you, Nags. O-line has to be fantastic. See, I don't know that it needs to be fantastic, although that would be great. You know, I'm not going to turn it down, but they just have to be way more consistent and way more effective. You know, I don't expect them to come in and be the 2003 Packers offensive line, right? But I do expect them to come in and at least be able to get some movement up front. That's what we were sold with the additions of Anthony Banks, the drafting of Anthony Belton. You know, it's like these bigger hulking dudes, we're going to be able to control the line. And that just never materialized in any significant way last year. And again, maybe hopefully some of that does start to materialize because they work together as a unit throughout the summer. But man, I do need to see it. That is something I do want to see, especially early in this season. What's up here? Guitar Ted says, I'm not too worried about the O-line. I don't like not having a reliable blocking tight end. Well, with the presumption that Tucker Kraft will be available week one, and that's what we're working under, they'll have one, right? Now, I get it would be nice to have a complement and to have one to stick in there when Tucker goes out on a route. But I also say, you know, don't forget, you know, Darren Kennard can operate as that potential extra body out there. He did, you know, report as a tight end at times last season, but you're not asking him to run routes regardless of what we saw down there in Chicago. But, you know, I think they're going to continue to look at that position for this very reason. You know, Brian admitted in the draft they were looking at tight end. They wanted to get a wide tight end, but they couldn't. All the value wasn't there while they were on the clock. We saw certainly early on day two the run on tight ends. So I think that's something, an area where I wouldn't be surprised if they made a late trade this summer and or maybe found somebody on a waiver wire that they liked in college, you know, et cetera. But that is certainly a spot where I suspect they'll continue to turn over everything that they can personnel-wise as the summer goes along. No doubt about it. E4, how you doing, man? Looking forward to the Bears having a wonderful stadium where the Packers will win a Super Bowl and dominate for the next 10 years. Man, that would be wild to play a Super Bowl in the Chicago area or Gary or wherever that is the Bears stadium with a roof. So there is a Super Bowl and the Packers are in it and they win it. Hell, if we can win a fucking Super Bowl down in Dallas in Jerry World, we can sure as hell win a Super Bowl in Chicago. I'll tell you that. I'd love it. Let's go. Jerry, what's up, man? Really like the Marlon Jones signing. Talented kid. Hey, you are our cornerback guru here. I can't wait to talk to you about him on Happy Hour tonight. I love the story. Now, I'm not familiar with his game. Haven't really looked at his tape yet. But, man, you talk about the narrative, overcoming, beating cancer, and now signing with an NFL team. That's pretty fucking dope, man. That is pretty awesome. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.